Welcome to the Grace Force, everyone. This is the Grace Force podcast, and I got my buddy Doug with us tonight. We are going to talk about some amazing things, and we'll get to that right after we start with our prayer. We want to ask for God's grace and his protection. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, Doug, I want you to, can you open us up tonight?
Yeah, sure. First, I'm wearing my St. Michael t-shirt.
Nice.
Yeah, I got this at a men's conference I spoke at in Pennsylvania.
And the Green Bay Packer hat.
Packers are doing well.
Yeah, and I got my Paca Dada with us here. So, I rub the Paca Dada belly for the Packer win, right?
Now, for everybody watching or listening, Father is joking. All right.
Yeah, I know. Right. It's not yes. Here. No, I'm not superstitious. In fact, that's the first time I've ever rubbed the Paca Dada's belly, right there.
Hey, by the way, I noticed he was hanging out with the president at the Alabama LSU game.
Yeah. Did you see the cheer for Paca Dada?
I didn't yeah. cheer. I saw the picture of him sitting in the booth with the president, though.
Paca Dada. That was the cheer, I think it was, going on in the stadium.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was USA. Or...
Oh, yeah. It could have been that.
It was good. Anyway, yeah, Father, I wanted to start. This is our 14th episode. And I'm hearing so many great things. And I wanted to just take a moment to personally thank everybody out there who's watching, who is listening to this program. I've heard amazing comments from people here in Tyler, Texas, where I've moved down to Tyler, Texas from Lincoln, Nebraska. And it's been really, really great, the support. But people are saying that they're really benefiting from the show. And that means a lot to us as well. But I want to make a pitch to everybody out there on something. A couple things here. Number one, your prayers. We need your prayers. Father and I are asking for your prayers. Very, very sincere, heartfelt request for your prayers. We're hoping also to grow the U.S. Grace Force. If you're not a member of the U.S. Grace Force, go out to Father's website, usgraceforce.com. Sign up there and join this force. There are over 57,000 and the number's trickling in still. And it's very important that we continue to grow this. We're talking about some of that tonight, really how important it is, because something major, major is happening right now and is coming up. But I also want to make a pitch for any comments are helpful to us. Any suggestions are helpful to us. Future guests, different topics in particular you might like to see Father and I address, or some of the guests we bring in. We're going to bring back some of the other guests we've already had on. We've already looked at bringing some back on in future shows. But I also want to make another pitch for something here, and that's for your support monetarily or financially. And I do this on really behalf of, there are a number of people behind the scenes who are working to get this podcast out every week. Several people who take the program, someone managing it right now. There's editing behind the scenes. There's putting different things together, making sure that it's out on different platforms. And we're really trying to reach as many lives as possible, and you can help. The link below, you're going to see the Patreon plan that we have set up. You can be a patron of the U.S. Grace Force podcast, and you can donate like a couple of dollars if you want, $5 a month or more. There's all different numbers there. Now, five different tiers, in fact. Now, Father and I kind of threw out some things that we think are going to be a lot of fun, encourage people to get some benefits and be really feel like you're part of this team, this Grace Force, which you really are. And just want you to know, your help, your support, your financial assistance is a major part of helping to keep this machine moving forward. And we want to reach as many hearts and souls as possible, especially in light of the times that we're living in, which is really what we're going to address tonight. We've got some serious things that have been going on in our society, in our church, in our world, and we're going to get after it. We've been trying to get after it with each of these episodes. We've got more coming up in the future. We've got some really great guests coming in the future. But again, your financial support is a huge help to us. So please click on the link. You see it in the description below on this video. Or if you are listening through audio, you'll see it written up in the description of the audio platform as well. And just go out there, take a look at it, see the different five tiers that we have, and pray about it. We want you to prayerfully consider this We don't want you to give unless you, you feel called in your heart in some way to help support this work. It's a ministry work that is, again, it's affecting people. We know this because we're getting great feedback of how it's encouraging people and giving them hope. And that's what we need to do. So again, Patreon account, you can check the link below. And we appreciate very much your support, your prayers, your comments, and your financial help. That being said, Father, I know one of the first things we wanted to get into tonight was Sister Agnes Sasagawa, this amazing nun from 1973 who received the famous apparitions and messages in Akita, Japan. It's been reported that she has received more information from heaven. And I just want to say this, Father, you had written about this on your website, right. Roman Catholic Man. And I did a video on this 5 days ago. If anybody wants to go out to my YouTube channel, you can see it. And it's on Sister Agnes Sasagawa and new message from heaven, question mark, because it is reported that an angel came to Sister Agnes and spoke to her some very powerful words we're going to get into discussing tonight. I put this video up, Father, and the response has been amazing. I've gotten over 45,000 views in 5 days, which for
it's amazing.
It's really, I mean, it's a phenomenal response. And you know, Father, you know, it addresses some of your article, of course, and it addresses some of the old messages that came in 1973. But I think one of the phenomenal things about how many people have responded so quickly, it's the fastest moving video I've had since I've started doing any right. vlogging or YouTube videos. And I think it's because, and you and I've talked about this, there's a real hunger out there and a real concern for what is happening
right
in our world right now. And Sister Agnes reportedly receiving this message from an angel really powerfully says something to where we are. And Father, I'm going to turn over to you. You can kind of break down a little bit because I know you wrote extensively about this in your RomanCatholicMan.com article on this. You know, a little bit about what was said and how it pertains to our world, what it means for us, significance wise.
Yeah. So she had not received a message from Our Lady or this from her guardian angel that in 40 years, you know. So, I mean, it's been since the 70s. And And I think all along, as we're watching, just this pure evil going on in the culture right now. I mean, people are like deer in headlights. They're like, what's going on? Every day, there just seems to be a new depth of just pure evil, you know, going on in the world right now. And so I think a lot of people are shocked. And I've noticed too through all of this that a lot of people were referring to that message in 1973, you know, and wondering if, you know, maybe now's the time or something with that, you know, and here in the middle of that, you know, when people are looking even more intently at that 1973 message, word gets out that Sister Agnes has this message given to her now 40 years later. And so I think it just rings true with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They find it very credible, very believable. And so I think that's why people are leaning into this right now and wondering, okay, what's going on? What are we supposed to do? What, you know, and her message itself was, she said, pray for a repentance rosary. And then, I think the other one was do acts of penance as well, but pray for a repentant rosary. What does that mean? Well, here's the full message. Put on ashes and pray for a repentant rosary every day. I actually, you know, I said what I think that is. I don't think we're supposed to actually, you know, put on ashes when we go wake up in the morning and walk around with ashes all day long. I said that's more akin to when we start Lent, right? We put on ashes to begin that season, that time of repentance during Lent. And I think that's what Sister is asking. And then what about pray for a repentant rosary? Well, you know, a lot of reports were coming in that the translation from the Japanese was a little broken in that. And I said, you know what I really think that means is that pray a rosary for repentance or for reparation. Well, lo and behold, I get a call a couple of days ago from a lovely woman. And she says, Father, I just feel like the Lord's telling me to reach out to you. And then she told me what her position is. And she actually happens to be very good friends with those that care for Sister Agnes. And they're in almost daily contact with each other. And they wanted to let me know. She told me some other things, but they wanted to let me know that my interpretation was correct. It's to pray a rosary for reparation. So we started doing that right away when this message started to become more viral and people started to hear more about it, which I actually mark as right around November 3rd. Mm-hmm. That's when I put a call out to everyone. I said, you know, let's do this. And then I counted the days forward from November 3rd and going with that whole 40 days thing. You know, this is our Nineveh moment. We have to do the Nineveh thing. And remember, that was when Jonah went to Nineveh and God had sent him and to warn them and to repent he'll bring his punishment. And what did they do? They put on ashes, okay, and they became very humble and they mortified themselves. They went into prayers of reparation, okay? And so that's what I believe is happening right now, is that this is our Nineveh moment. We're doing the Nineveh thing right now. And so if you count 40 days out from November 3rd, lo and behold, it lands on Our Lady of Guadalupe. Okay. So that's what we started doing. We added that prayer. We're praying this rosary for reparation. We're asking people to do greater fasts. I've been doing very strict fasts since we got this. I'm taking this very seriously. And we're trying to do our best to call out to God as the people of Nineveh did, because, you know, it could be that our time is short and her message from 1973 might be more imminent.
Well, and also, Father, we need to make mention too that the day that she reportedly received this from the angel to put on ashes and to pray for a repentant rosary every day, she does mention to do it every day, was on October 6th, correct?
Right.
Which is the first day of the now famous or infamous Amazon Synod.
Exactly.
And all of the craziness, to put it mildly, that has come from that synod and all my goodness, everything. And the whole Pachamama and, and being thrown in the Tiber River and then just different things that were said. And, it's just a mess. It's a deep, deep mess. And now we've got Archbishop Vigano coming out saying that there needs to be a reconsecration even of St. Peter's Basilica and St. Marie Transmontina, where these idols, these false idols were. And there's a number of things that are happening, seem to be steamrolling right now. So if you count, and I know this is numbers and people get kind of, well, numbers, but you know, this was out floating around out there too. If you count 40 days, which is that's a pretty powerful number for us Catholics when it comes to fasting and prayer, 40 days for Lent, our Lord has 40 days in the desert fasting and praying before he begins his public ministry. There's something about the 40 day thing that's important to us. Well, 40 days from October 6th is November 15th. And the gospel reading for November 15th is this. It's from Luke chapter 17, 26 to 37. Just the highlights of it. As it was in Noah's day, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying wives and husbands right up to the day Noah went into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It will be the same as in the day of the Lord's day. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting. It will be the same as it was in Lot's day. That's it. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be the same when the day comes for the Son of Man to be revealed. Now, is that his second coming? Is it the revealing of the Lord in another way? I mean, I know we don't know this for sure, Father, and there's some speculation to this, but, and I know you and I have talked about this, and, you know, you get that message from that wonderful woman who told you about, you know, what the caretakers of Sister Agnes is saying. These types of things where you see the numbers lining up the way they do, what's been happening in Rome in the Synod,
right?
All these things coming together really, really should cause us and really demand that we take more seriously what our Blessed Mother has been saying for years now.
Right.
Because all this message is about ash on the, you know, put on ash, penance, pray a rosary of reparation is completely in line with all of the church approved apparitions of our Blessed Mother for the last 100 years. From Fatima on, we have seen this play out over and over again. And when we do not respond to her, the devastation of something such as World War II, which could have been avoided, Mary said it, if you don't stop offending my son, there will be a second war. Okay, the hinge there, folks, was whether or not we were going to offend her son, or were we turn our backs on God or embrace the truth of God. Same with Kibeho in Rwanda in 1981 to 89 when she appeared to the visionaries there. She showed them a vision of the genocide that would take place, and it did 12 years later. And she said that this was going to happen if man does not repent. So here we get these messages upon us in Akita. I mean, we should probably be touched base on a couple of the, if you want, Father, the messages of Akita back in 1973. I mean, when she says that that the work of the devil will be relentless, implacable against consecrated souls. So she says, pray very much for priests and the Pope and cardinals and bishops. And I don't know that we really take those things that seriously on a large scale. She also said that on October 13th, which was the final message, actually, I should back up. One of the first messages she said to Sister Agnes was that God was very angry with mankind and was preparing a great chastisement because of his anger, because of man's sinfulness and our ingratitude, which echoes even some of the warnings back from the angel of peace speaking to the children in Fatima. So again, fast forward, October 13th of 1973, the anniversary of the miracle of the sun from 1917 in Fatima. And that's the day in 1973 where Our Lady tells Sister Agnes that if man does not repent, fire will fall from the sky and a multitude of the world will be annihilated. Now, prior to this, she speaks about the bishops opposing bishops, cardinals opposing cardinals. Like you said, that's what's causing a lot of us, really, as you said, to kind of lean into this message now, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, you think about the timing of all this. 73, what happened there? Oh. You know, that was Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
You know, so and the message came almost, you know, just a few months after that. I believe the decision with Roe v. Wade was in January of 73.
Yep.
And this message come, you know, and the message is about, you know, holding back, you know, God's anger in a message that she gave on May 13 or August 3rd of 73. It said, in order that the world might know his anger, the Heavenly Father is preparing to inflict a great chastisement on all mankind. With my son, I have intervened so many times to appease the wrath of the Father. Okay, but here's the thing, Doug. I have prevented the coming of calamities by offering him the sufferings of the Son on the cross, his precious blood, and the beloved souls who console him, forming, ready for this, a cohort of victim souls. Prayer, penance, and courageous sacrifices can soften the Father's heart. You know, I was reading that again, Doug, today, and I was thinking, you know, victim souls, you know, those who are pleading with God. That's the Ninevites, right? Yeah. But it's people who are willing, who truly want to please God and try to do that reparation that's necessary. And I actually, Doug, I actually went to the story in Genesis of Sodom. And you know, remember this first, that not only 73 was abortion, but that was the late 60s was the explosion of sexual hedonism in the country. I mean, the whole place just, in the world, the whole place just went crazy, right?
And let me jump in on that real quick too, Father. The DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders,
right,
for psychologists, in 1973, if I'm not mistaken, that was the year that they threw out the definition of homosexuality as a disorder.
It's unbelievable.
So, you know, and now it's just an alternative lifestyle.
So you can just see God angry, you know, just so angry. Yeah. And Our Lady and her son have been appeasing the Father in every way that they can. And then now let's get to this year and the brand new message since those messages in the 70s, okay? Not another message since then, and all of a sudden we have one. Well, October 6th, right, Doug? That's when the Amazon Synod started, and the greatest outrage you could ever do to God is to place an idol in his sanctuary.
Yeah.
You can't even fathom that that's even possible. And so
it's a first commandment thing, folks. First commandment.
First commandment.
Bottom line, first right commandment. There.
You think of, you know, if you think of Moses coming down and you know, there's the golden calf and everything, the outrage that God had.
Yeah.
You know, and so here we are, you know, okay, the sexual revolution in the 1960s, you know, Roe v. Wade, you know, we're okay with homosexual acts, all of this, you know, you can just see God going, you've got to fix this. You've got to become holy. And in the middle of it too, Doug, we're complicit because for all these years, by and large, we've remained silent. We have not been that counter revolution. You know, there are great exceptions to that. There's holy people out there, but by and large, okay, the greater portion of us have not been that. But I was thinking about that too, Doug, when it was Sodom and Gomorrah and their time was up according to God. And then remember that great appeal by Abraham? You know, what if there were 50? What if there were 45? What if there were, you know, and it went on like that, if you remember that passage in Genesis. And God says, well, you know, if there's that many, then I'll withhold if there's that many. And I started to think about this and, you know, this building a cohort of victim souls. All right. Well, let's do that. Let's build that cohort of victim souls, people who are willing to do sacrifices, do penances, pray with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know, and that's what we're doing with the United States Grace Force. And I started to think, you know, what are the percentages? I actually looked at the population of Gomorrah or Sodom at that time as about, they say 600 to 1200, let's call it 1,000 people. Okay. So he went all the way down to what if for the sake of 10, you know, and if, even if there were 10, I will not destroy it. Well, what is that? That's 1%. What if we got 1%? That we're willing to be those victim souls according to scripture, that appeases God. Let's do this. Let's get that 1% that are on fire for the love of God and are so sorry for their own sins, but for the sins of our culture and inside our church. And let's get on our knees and let's beg God as the Ninevites did, you know, please relent in your punishment. And that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, with this, I'm thinking, you know, you mentioned the idol situation, Father. I think of Moses and the golden calf when he comes down the mountain and he sees that in Exodus. And I just pulled this up because I wanted to read it for the people here. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned.
Yeah.
Threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf that people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the ground and made the Israelites drink it. I mean,
that's anger.
And people think, oh no, we're just going to get, no, the prophets of God, you know, and now we have the queen of all prophets coming to the world, repeatedly reminding us of how serious this is. And if you fast forward, he even says to Aaron, why do these people, what do these people do to you that you let them, led them into such great sin? And Aaron goes on, you know, well, you know, these people are to evil, you know, they said to us, make us gods who will go before us. And as for this fellow Moses who brought Israel out of Egypt, and it goes on and on. And by the end of this passage, verse 35, and the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf that Aaron had made. I mean, this whole Pachamama thing
is
not a joke.
But Doug, that was the tradition of the indigenous people to have golden calves. Right. And so we should just respect that, you know? I can't believe what's going on.
I can't either.
And so... It's no wonder God's angry. It's no wonder we're getting this message. And please, I'm extremely hopeful because I believe that passage. If even 1%,
right?
Okay, if even 1%, let's be that 1%. And with that, Doug, let's take a break. And
you bet,
we'll come right back.
All right.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who asked for thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petition, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the United States Grace Force. We're here with my buddy, Doug Berry, and we're talking about some pretty serious stuff right now. And right now in this segment, we want to talk about something that occurred recently. You know, again, we were talking in the last segment about everything that's going on in the Vatican, of course, everything that's going on in the world. And we're referring to an article that appeared recently on the National Catholic Register. And it talked about four exorcists urge day of fasting, prayer, and reparation on December 6th. And I'll just read this short beginning part. They wrote, these exorcists, in light of recent events regarding the Pachamama ritual in the Vatican Gardens, the subsequent procession of the idol into St. Peter's, as well as placing in the idols in Santa Maria in Trespontina Church, we are reminded of the words of St. Paul. I say that what is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything, or that the idol is anything, but the things which the heathens sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should be made partakers with devils. And so what's happening, and Doug, I'm going to share this, that I actually was contacted by one of these prominent exorcists about all of this. And I actually, I'm probably the instigator of how that article got in the Register. He reached out to me. First of all, we've kind of become pretty good friends, but he knew too that we had this, using the words of the last segment, the 1%, I call them right now, but this Grace Force that has over 58,000 people. We're almost getting as big as one of the branches of the actual military. And also the Holy League of Nations, where we built that, and all these countries too. So we just knew that I had a reach to get guys, to get really devout, believing in miracles, faithful people in prayer. Here's why. Because there's a lot of demonic activity going on. He had an incident with one exorcism that he had, that actually the demons started talking about specific situations in specific places. He went to another exorcism, and in a completely different person, didn't know each other, and the demons started saying the exact same things, okay, which, you know, startled him. Then all of a sudden, he gets contacted by about four or five other exorcists who were reporting the same thing. They're discerning that there is a very powerful evil going on, and some of it might even be inside the walls of our church. But they also discerned that it's so powerful because the kind of satanic rituals they're doing are also ones that actually ask for added protection. Okay, so it's a very mighty, very difficult demon to cast out. They're going to do their thing as exorcists, but they need the world praying with them. And they chose this December 6th as a day. It's the next First Friday. He believes that we need to call out to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And if you read the article from the National Catholic Register, it actually points to two specific things that he wants us to do: the act of consecration of the human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the act of reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But along with that, to say a rosary that day, to do some form of penance, such as fasting, abstinence, or other forms of mortification, and then pray the act of consecration, the two prayers. But then if you feel you're called to it, he asked that they asked that all also there's a holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament that day, and they attend Mass that day, offering the merits of the Mass for this intention. Okay. And so so that came out just recently, and that's a big deal, I think, don't you?
Oh, Father, the fact that our Lord himself makes clear in the Synoptic Gospels, the two where he speaks of when the Father comes and says, you know, my son is possessed and he falls into fire and water and your disciples could not cure him. And it's one of those moments where if anybody for a moment ever thought that Jesus was just an easygoing hippie, which I know a lot of people reduce him to in their minds, how he responds here is completely dispels that. He says, right. How long must I endure you? How long right. must I be around you?
Right.
And he says, bring the boy to me. And he casts out the demons. And when they come to him and say, why couldn't we do this? He gives two different answers in two different gospels. In one of them, he says, because cases like this, he says, because of your lack of faith.
Right.
Okay, your lack of faith. Right?
Yep.
And you correct me if I'm wrong.
But then he goes on to say, listen, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'd do it. You know, but then the other gospel, go on.
Yeah, the other gospel, he says, you know, cases like this, certain demons need to be dealt with more prayer and fasting.
Right.
So, you can speak to this better than I can, Father, as a priest, that this is really what the U.S. Grace Force is all about. You know, why I made the pitch at the beginning of the show, we're trying to grow the ranks. We need that 1% you were talking about to really, number one, have faith in what's going on here. Got to believe in the supernatural.
Yeah. Anytime he's asked to perform a miracle for somebody to ask him to get a healing, he says, do you believe I can do this?
Yeah.
Yes. And then after he does it, he says, it's because of your faith that this happened.
Yeah.
You know, so belief is absolutely integral to experiencing prayer, answer prayer and miracles.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a test. I mean, he tests the depth of that belief extensively. You know, one of my favorite stories is the hemorrhaging woman. And this is when Jesus is on his way to Jairus's daughter, who's 12 years old. And there's got to be some significance to the fact that she's 12 years old and the woman's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And she's exhausted her finances, it sounds like, with doctor after doctor, and it's only gotten worse. She sees Jesus. She says, if I just touch the hem of his cloak. And she does, and the blood flow dries up immediately. And our Lord's response is, who touched me? As if he didn't already know.
Right.
But he's testing constantly. And Peter and the others say, well, you know, you're hemmed in by everybody. You're being touched by. He says, no, healing power has gone out of me.
Right. That's amazing when he says that. Because what does it infer? Power came out of him and went into her.
Yeah.
And right?
her faith was a way it was so strong. She even got nervous. You know, it says, and he says, no, your faith has done this. You're right. That faith is everything. But then on top of that, the personal ownership of this battle that we're in, this fight against the diabolical, that my body can become a weapon for God to use.
Yes.
If I, just submit to deeper prayer, which is an act of the will and an act of the heart and the soul. And it's and also that I mortify my senses in fast and in some sort of sacrifice. Like I say this all the time, Father, when I do men's talks, you know, I say to anybody out there, especially you men, ladies too, I don't think a day should go by. If you're married and have a family, every day I fast in some way, shape, or form for my wife and kids. And that's not a bragging point. I'm just trying to say that to encourage. Maybe I'm eating half of what I would eat for lunch. Maybe I'm skipping lunch. Maybe I'm not going to eat breakfast. I'm going to wait till my first meal is going to be at 2 p.m. or maybe I'm going to skip my dessert or I'm going to have one cup of coffee instead of three, you know, which is penance for the people around us when that happens, you know, not having our coffee. But you know what I'm saying? Every day do something that mortifies the senses and puts you and allows you to use your body in these ways as a spiritual weapon. By God's grace, you're cooperating with God on this. And Father, it sounds to me like, boy, if we get enough people together, people respond. Like this show we're doing right now, this is a very important topic. From Sister Agnes Sasagawa's part at the beginning, to what we're talking about now, to the third segment, which is going to be amazing for people who are, you know, don't leave. We got an amazing segment at the end coming up. But if you're watching or listening to this right now, you need to share this with 20 people. You need to post it. You need to get it out there because this is a call to arms. All hands on deck. Man the guns. Man the battle stations. We are under attack like never before. Exorcists are pointing this out. Father, you've been pointing this out for a long time. Our Lady has been pointing it out. The Queen of Prophets, the Queen of Martyrs. You know, we have been told over and over, we need more men and women who are willing to really commit to this fight.
Right.
So Father, tell me, Father, what as a priest, you've had been able to see amazing things happen in your priestly ministry with prayer and fasting in general. I mean, does anything come to mind immediately of the power of prayer and fasting in your personal life for people around you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, over and over and over again, God has demonstrated, you know, somebody once said that fasting gives the upper hand to the underdog. And what it does is what you're saying is, I really mean this, God. I'm praying to you, but listen, I'm adding this fasting just so you can hear me shouting. And the other thing too, when we talk about the, you know, praying with belief, okay, you know, that gives credit to God. You know, what if somebody asks God for something and then it happens and then they go, oh, that was a nice coincidence. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad my horoscope was good today. You know, oh, you know, glad I got these crystals in my pocket. You know, no, I think that's a huge part of the reason why God wants us to, why it's an essential factor to receiving answered prayers and miracles is that we attribute it to God. We're calling out to God. And so when he does it, I can remember when we started this whole Grace Force thing back in 2016, we were seeing amazing miracles. And when we added fasting, it really made a huge difference. But we would say, look what happened there. God answered our prayer. And we'd have people, and this was on social media, come on and go, well, you know, no, I mean, that's a coincidence. And, you know, why are you attributing that to God? And I'm just sitting there going, you know, this is the reason why God asks for belief, you know, because once God acts and once God in his glorious, gracious, loving will responds and answers the prayer. And a lot of times, Doug, the prayer is answered in a way that we never imagined. It's not even what we expected. It's better, you know. But when he responds, we are able to say, look at our God. Look at God. And St. Paul recently, I think it was in yesterday's readings, talked about, and I will give them a word implanted in their soul, and it'll come by signs and wonders, you know, that come from God, that will awaken in people an understanding of the true nature of God and the power of God that truly, truly does exist. And so, yes, fasting is important. Listen, December 6th, everyone, please put that on your calendar. This is an important day. We are, in essence, doing a worldwide exorcism. We are assisting these exorcists with our prayers, okay, because this is a behemoth, okay? And so that's why this requires prayer and fasting. Do some serious fasting on that day. Listen, if you've got physical issues, you can't give up food, give up some kind of great luxury that you have or something on that day. But it's praying with belief, calling out to God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So December 6th, please join us. And if you haven't joined the Grace Force yet, do that at usgraceforce.com, and we'll be right back.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Hey, everyone, we're back. U.S. Grace Force Podcast. Doug Berry here with my good friend, Father Richard Heilman. And we're thrilled to be with you, our third and final segment. Now, recap, first segment, new message from heaven to Sister Agnes Sasagawa reported. Hasn't been verified, but Father received a phone call from a woman who is good friends with the caretakers of Sister Agnes, and we're being told through this conversation that we are definitely on the right track with making mention of this message being focused on we need to be doing more penance. We need to be praying a rosary of reparation every day. It goes in line with everything our Blessed Mother has been asking for years. Second segment, ladies and gentlemen, exorcists are calling upon us all to take part. All of us. You have to share this information with other people. Okay, you can go to Father Heilman's Facebook page or my Facebook page, Doug Berry or Father Richard Heilman, and you will find both of them have the posting of this article from the National Catholic Register, Four Exorcists Urge Day of Fasting, Prayer, and Reparation on December 6th. It's first Friday. Important that we consecrate our lives to our Lord and perform acts of reparation, prayer, and fasting. Because we got
it's already going viral.
Yeah, this should be going viral. This has to be going viral. And it will go viral if we're faithful to getting the word out. And we do this for everything else. You know, I put a post up on President Trump recently, Father. And I mean, what he said a year ago in August about the country and prayer and prayer and is so important and being united with God. It was a great speech he gave. I saw the video of it. I put a post up on it. And, you know, 500 or whatever likes and you know, 300 and some whatever shares and incredible. We will do it for those things. We must do it for these things.
Right.
Because while having a good president in the White House is important, you know, we can't underestimate how much more important it is to deepen our prayer life, fasting, reparation, mortification, and so forth. Now, that being said, the final segment here, ladies and gentlemen, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, one of my favorite scripture passages. Behold, I command thee, take courage and be strong. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. All right, this builds so much on what the U.S. Grace Force is all about, being mighty in the Lord's power, as you've always said, Father, believing in the supernatural. We don't pray like we're throwing mud on the wall and hoping that it sticks. We pray with confidence that our Lord is doing something. We may not fully understand it. It may not be the way we want it done or the way we think it should be done. But he is not ignoring our prayers, especially when they're done with a sense of courage and strength. Now, he provides the courage and strength, obviously. But our hearts need to be open to this, folks. We have to be open to this. And, you know, Father, I find it amazing. You know, you see this too. Again, with the U.S. Grace Force podcast, I mean, I travel still quite a bit and I speak. And even here in Tyler, Texas, where I live now, and I'll be in California coming up soon. And anywhere I've gone since we've started doing this podcast, people are coming up saying, oh, the podcast, love the podcast, means a lot to me, really getting a lot of encouragement out of it. Some people are so confused right now, Father, that the idea of having courage and being strong, as Joshua 1 commands us to, is really, really tough. When you hear really good, faithful Catholics and you know, and you hear this too, who look at you and say, I just don't know if I can keep doing that. And you say to them, yeah, well, you don't leave Jesus because of Judas. And that's a nice line, and it's true. But you know as well as I, Father, that there's something about what's going on deep in here, in the heart, in the soul. We're really, some people really struggling. I mean, I felt some struggle too. You know that. We have, you know. But that whole point, be courageous, be strong, do not be dismayed. What are your thoughts on that statement, that passage from Joshua 1?
You know, who I'm thinking about right now is Father Z, Father John Zulsdorf.
Yeah.
And we were talking just, I think it was yesterday, but he wrote about this not too long ago. He's looking at all this evil in the world and what's going on in the church and all this stuff. And he finally just said, you know what? Bring it. He's like, bring it on. And what he's saying there is, let it get so bad that people rise up, okay? And we finally have that fire in our belly to want to have the resolve to be the holy people that we're called to be. You know, we kind of stroll along, we go along to get along, we compromise, we kind of reduce our faith to just kind of, you know, making sure we get that obligation in and, you know, try not to murder or rape anybody, you know, but it becomes so weak. Okay. That's what he means through this. He says, you know what? if the devil's going to be this crazy, he's going to ignite a fire that will call for strength, okay, in the people. And there will be a new, like a new beginning in our church and in our world, if only that can happen. I remember when I had Matt Walsh come here to speak, and go look for it on YouTube. It was amazing. But the title of his talk was "The Satan's Tactic for Christian America, Don't Awaken Their Courage." Mm. Doug, that's exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's a good title.
That's exactly what's going on right now, is that the devil is overstepping by such an outrageous amount right now. And people are just, like I said, shocked. And they're like, okay, give me that rosary. Okay, fasting, I'm in. Okay, you know, you want me to do more sacrifices? Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah,
there's heroic soldiers being formed in this time where we're being beaten up by the devil.
Yeah, and I think of, you know, King David, you know, when he stood before Goliath, you know, one of my favorite passages of a warrior, you know, and this is the only man in Scripture that God says is a man after my own heart. And when Goliath is out there, you know, beating his chest and, you know, looking all bad and tough, and everybody's mocking and making fun of the Israelites, and Goliath is mocking God.
Yeah.
And David says, "I don't think so. You will not
hold my beer.
Hold my beer. I got this here." But you know, it's, you know, some of the self-defense stuff that I've learned, and, you know, I teach self-defense, you know, in different places, just basic general stuff. I do a lot of like church safety awareness training. I'm doing more of that down here in Tyler, and I've done around the country talks on this. And one of the number one things that I learned from a guy years ago is, if someone ever kicks in your front door, everyone approaches you. If anybody ever comes as if they're going to assault you or mug you or hurt your children or your loved ones,
right?
Don't just get angry and don't just get scared and fight from that position. Become indignant, as if to say, "Who do you think you are? How dare you come in this house? You are not going to mess with my family. Exactly. You are not going to mess with me. I'm a child."
Righteous
of God.
Indignation. Righteous. And
that's what David had towards Goliath when Goliath was mocking God. "You will not do this to God. Well, you know what? Well, you are not going to destroy my Catholic faith. You're not going to undermine how I feel, what I know is true. Not how I feel, even what I know is true." So you know what? Yeah, I agree with Father Z on that one. Bring it on. Because I know we're mighty in the Lord's strength. If we're close to God, be in the state of grace, pray your rosary, receive your sacraments, wear your scapular, be enrolled in your scapular. If you're not in the brown scapular, get in the brown scapular.
Making me get mine out.
There you go. Yeah.
I got all this stuff going on.
Yeah, you got all kinds of medals and chains on there.
I got a relic of the true cross.
Oh, all right. You got me on that one. I have a Benedict crucifix. But you know what? If we're in this, then you know what? I've got my armor on. And I'm ready for that fight by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God, though.
Yeah.
Okay? So we've got to cling to God, cling to our Blessed Mother, and then be ready and have that courage and strength to get in there and just be ready to fight for God. I'm just tired of the way things are going. And I know you and I, we're speaking for a lot of people out there, because you and I, we see the comments that people tell us personally. You know, people are fed up with things right now. And you know what? We need to get to that point so we can just roll up the sleeves and say, "That's it. Let's go."
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, that's awesome, Doug. That's amazing. But going back to when you said that you even fast for your family or for your wife and things like that, there's a lot of people that would go, "Why? What's that?" And look at the word sacrifice itself, okay? The word, if you break it down, sacra facere, means to make sacred, okay, or to make holy. So doing sacrifice, discipline, okay, being extravagant in your love for neighbor and love for God, you know, all of that takes sacrifice. But what's happening there is you're being made sacred, okay? And what you're opening what you're doing is opening yourself up to just be a vessel where all this power of grace comes in. Because see, God can trust you, okay? As I always say, we use the word disciple, and it's right, but I like to use the word ambassador, okay? His representative, okay? You claim to be a Christian. You claim to be a child of God. What does that look like, you're saying to the world? Well, here's what it looks like. It looks like a a Marine running into the hail of bullets. Okay. It looks like a Navy SEAL, you know, running onto the beaches, you know, to invade a warring army. You know, it's that warrior spirit that we're willing to make sacrifices. That's what these warriors do. They make sacrifices. But what are they doing? They're making sacred. They're making themselves holy by extending themselves in this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And that goes very much in line with that Joshua 1 verse 9 passage. There is, behold, I command you, you know, take courage, be strong, do not be dismayed. And, you know, we look for, I think sometimes, Father, people are looking for, maybe some of our listeners and viewers, God bless you. You know, we're looking for that, I guess, you know, what's that, the mysterious secret to getting these things done? You know, how do I convert so-and-so, or how do I keep my kid in the faith, or how do I bring my husband or my wife back to the faith? And And I always say to them, you know, there is no absolute recipe or ingredient for that, you know, that makes that happen. But I can say this, you personally, be strong, be courageous,
be strong,
have courage, you know, pray hard, fast every day in some way. It doesn't even have to be huge, or as the president would say, huge. You know, it just has to be, you know, sincere and genuine, and let the Lord know, Lord, this little sacrifice I'm making today, I'm not going to listen to the radio driving home from work. I'm going to pray an extra rosary or an extra decade of the rosary, even one decade. You know, I'm going to skip my lunch, or I'm going to eat half my lunch, or I'm going to eat my lunch 20 minutes later than I did before, so I feel a little more hunger for a little bit longer. Whatever it may be. I'm going to take a cold shower 3 days this week instead of nice, warm, cushy, cozy showers. You know, find something every day. Yep. And on top of that too, Father, I mean, when I do self-defense training stuff, you know, we've just started something down here in Tyler on Wednesday evenings.
Nice.
We're starting to do a men's training night. Now, we do something once a month on Saturday mornings, a battle-ready training day, but now we're doing Wednesday evenings. And the Wednesday evening, because some of the guys were wanting to take it up to another level and do more physical training. So it's conditioning type stuff, but we, you know, physical conditioning. But we do, we talk a little bit about the faith and morality and so forth, and the role of a man in general. And, you know, we did one night last Wednesday. We had about 30, 35 guys show up. By the end of that 1 hour, someone said, well, hey, you guys just want to keep doing this every other week, or do you want to do it more often? And one guy says, every week. And then like 80% of them said, yeah, every week. I said, well, okay, I'm available. Let's do it every week.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. But what I'm encouraging them is to, you know, use this as an opportunity to realize that when you are physically training and physically testing yourself, whether you're fasting or exercising or doing something on a physical, natural level, you recognize a certain physical reach, I like to say. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, last week we had Bear on there, and he says, a lot of guys don't even know how to throw a punch. Well, if I know when I throw a punch how far my reach is because I've rehearsed that, then I have a certain courage that if something physically happens and I have to, I got an idea how to do it and how far to reach. Now, relate that to fasting. Relate that to the challenge of mortification in general. So when things get tough,
the discipline of prayer.
It's discipline. Yeah, that's where I'm going with the word discipline is the key there. You develop the discipline, and then it helps even in the spiritual areas of things like prayer.
Yeah.
And you know, people don't pray because we struggle with discipline. I mean, face it, someone out there listening right now or watching is thinking, yeah, I can't pray the rosary because I just can't sit still for 15 or 20 minutes. Well, a lot of that is a discipline issue, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know, always one of my favorite expressions from one of my great heroes of all time, President Ronald Reagan. You know, he always said over and over again, but peace through strength, weakness only invites aggression, right? And so what you're talking about there, Doug, is you're talking about getting strong, okay?
Yeah.
And what happens to a person who gets in a place like that where they're getting stronger and stronger themselves, physically, spiritually, mentally, all those things. What happens to them is that they have this sense of purpose, this sense of meaning, and a sense of being the best that they can possibly be. And you know what comes with that? A sense of peace. a calm comes over a person like that. And you can see it in soldiers too. You know, that calm resolve that they have as they do their mission that they're supposed to do. But what are they doing? They're sacrificing, you know, they're making holy, they're making themselves strong. And I love that expression so much that I actually put it on the challenge coin that we made. I don't know if you can see that up to the camera, but on there it says per virtutem pax, which is Latin for peace through strength. Okay. And that's what we're called to be. You want to have peace in your heart. You want to have peace in your home. You want to have peace in the culture. Okay. We need strong people in order to make that happen. And that's what God's calling us to do. And I think with that, Doug, I think we're out of time for tonight. This has been just fantastic, Doug.
Yeah, this has been great. Yeah, and I want to thank everybody for I mean, this has been, what, like episode 14, I think we've done. And it's just, I mean, again, the feedback has been great. The encouragement has been great. So I want to ask everybody out there again, please continue to pray for us. Send your ideas, your comments mean a lot to us. Ideas for guests, for topics, and so forth. And please don't forget to check the link below for Patreon if you'd like to support the episodes that we put out and the people behind the scenes to help us continue to reach further. As many, many people as possible, throw the net as far and wide as we possibly can. And your prayers and financial support make a big, big dent in helping us do that. So Patreon, click the link, and there's some really cool gifts and responses you're going to get from us that including that challenge coin you just showed, Father. That's one of the items some people can get. So
this thing's so cool.
It is a cool coin. You can donate a few dollars a month. You can donate more. It's entirely up to what you prayerfully, and we mean that prayerfully, feel God might be asking you to do. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for helping us with this program, because we're
stand up and be a part of the 1%. Okay?
Amen.
Awesome. All right. God bless everyone. Let's end with a prayer too. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. God bless everyone.
God bless you.